The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another.
Hello, hello.
The Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com. Or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Hello, hello. This is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. I am honored to be one of the co-hosts for today's episode of Blog Talk Radio with the International Mastermind Association, where, as you heard, like-minded people gather around the principles detailed by Napoleon Hill's landmark book, Think and Grow Rich. Today, we will be discussing Chapter 6 around organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action, the sixth step to riches. We will also have an amazing guest, Mr. Sir Charles Carey, who will share his insight on the chapter, and you definitely, definitely want to be part of the conversation at that time. And I do want this to be a conversation, so you can join in by dialing 661-554-9219 and then hitting 1 to raise your hand if you want to ask a question to join the conversation. So helping me guide the ship for this amazing conversation are some incredible co-hosts, and so I'd like to introduce each of them and ask them to share their ahas from not only Think and Grow Rich, but this chapter in particular. So first up is our fearless leader, Ms. Ann McNeil, the master builder and founder of the International Mastermind Association. So Ms. Ann, please take it away.
All right, all right, all right. How amazing this is going to be, talking about, for me, talking about imagination, and imagination, according to the book, is the very beginning of organized planning. And again, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives, and the founder of the International Mastermind Association. And this chapter on organized planning, my aha moment for this chapter actually started in the preceding chapter, because Napoleon Hill opens up the organized planning chapter by saying, you have learned that everything worthwhile that an individual creates or acquires begins in the form of desire, and that the first step of desire's journey from the abstract to the concrete is into the workshop of the imagination, where plans for desires transition are created and organized. And as I began to reread this chapter in preparation for today's show, I was struck by the next page where Napoleon Hill basically talks about the fact that we have to, excuse me, first he starts on this page where he talks about the very bottom. He tells us that before forming a mastermind alliance, now mastermind alliance for me is the accountability tool for any organized plan. But any organized plan in my life starting in 1979 started with the sixth step to riches in the chapter on desire. So if I were to transition before coming to organized planning, it would start with the desire, how much money do I want? Then it would go to my imagination, what do I imagine I'm going to do in providing some kind of product or service to make that money I desire. By the time I get to organized planning, the first thing Napoleon Hill tells me I must do is to align myself with all of you in a mastermind alliance of accountability for my organized plans. So, Galen and everybody, that is my aha moment in reading this chapter and looking at my own businesses and really revisiting my plans and really revisiting my alliances that I have with individuals inside my organization and outside of my organization. And that organization relates to every civic, social, and corporate alliance that I have. So that's my aha moment, and back to you, Caitlin.
Fantastic. What a great way to kick us off. Next up is Ms. Ursula Odom, the owner of Sulatu Publishing. Ursula, what is give a little bit of background on who you are, what you do, and your aha moment from this particular chapter.
Good morning. I am Ursula Odom, and I'm the CEO of Sulatu. We make old, new, and everything we do. In that, we will capture, preserve, and present your legacy information in any form possible. And with that, the last 30 days have been absolutely extraordinary for me because I've had an experience with imagination and organized planning that are life-changing. I met someone introduced to me by Miss Ann McNeil that just exploded the imagination in that they're functioning, this person is functioning at a level that I want to be at, and to be in the presence of talking to that person and sharing information and going back and forth and actually being mutually beneficial, which was a thrill too, to be able to be in a position to help someone else. It causes the imagination to just go. That was one. And then taking all those wonderful ideas and implementing them, and you want to make those things happen as quickly and to the best of your ability, but driven by someone else's goal to get a project done, if you don't stick to your organization and the plans that you have in place, that thing can go all over the place because you're following them everywhere their little dream wants you to go. So using imagination to create your own structure is one thing, but allowing someone else's imagination to lead you around sometimes doesn't work. So putting those two things into evaluation has been my aha moment. Both of them were extremely positive. Both of those things I've learned from, but now I have to put together the organized plan by which I can follow what I need to do to realize my goals and dreams. Thank you.
Wow, that's power. That's power. So fantastic. Thank you for that. And let's keep this going. You heard her last week as navigator in the coast of last week's episode, the one and only Miss Pagin.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm excited. This is such an exciting chapter. So to everybody, always remember, be powerful, be you, and have impact. And in my work, I know that part of that possibility of having impact and really touching thousands, if not millions of lives, is the two-part of imagination and organized planning. For me, as I was reading this, I was going, yes, yes, yes. On page 106 of the book that we use, it's written, keep in mind these two facts. First, you are engaged in an undertaking of major importance to you. To be sure of your success, you must have plans which are faultless. Second, you must have the advantage of the experience, education, native ability, and the imagination of other minds. This is in harmony with the methods followed by every person who has accumulated great fortune. The way that I know that this combination of imagination and organized planning comes is by participating in groups and investing in myself to be in groups that help ask me the tough questions about my plan. For me, that was in 2017, the Small Business Administration had a special program for companies that were $1 million plus and that had faced some rough times, and they really put us through a year-long intensive program with experts and experts from all fields, and we had to rewrite our business plan and really get questioned about it, really have somebody else who's outside using the imagination. Why would you do that? What if you did that? And their insight provided me a grander, bigger platform to continue to develop my business. The second thing that I'm doing, I signed up this week. I want to go, I've had several books, but I want to go back to major publisher. And so you have to have a really good, strong proposal. So I signed up this week, and I'm in the process. And talk about being held accountable. You have to produce every week part of your plan. And every week you get feedback. You get insights from an expert that knows what they're doing, and they're a team of experts. You cannot do this alone. You need the imagination of others. You need the support of others to take you to your next highest, biggest place. And I am, and everybody listening here, to go to the annual meeting of the International Mastermind on, it's always January 4th. It's worth it for you to create and be involved and connect with people that can question you and help you grow and be your highest best self. That's all I have to say. For now, more to come.
Fantastic. I know church is tomorrow, but there are a couple of amen moments in there for me, so thank you again. Well, let's keep the power going. This next co-host is Dr. Peter James. He is a professor. He's a speaker. He's a coach, and just an amazing, amazing guy. So, Peter, give us a little bit more background on who you are and your aha from this particular chapter.
Thanks so much, Galen. I truly appreciate it. Good morning to everyone. I'm so excited to be here to also listen to Sir Charles, and we have a great host, and of course you, Galen. A little bit about me. Yes, I teach. Yes, I speak, and I'm also an executive coach. But I hang my hat on two main points, which are high performance for individuals and businesses, but also trying to get people to shift their mindset. And shift their mindset to wherever they're trying to get to. But everything begins in their mind. And this is why I love this book so much by Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, because it analyzes a lot of what we need to think about, what we need to have in our mindset before we need to execute, more or less. So, of course, if you go back to the chapter on imagination, one of the two big concepts that jumps off the screen, the page for me, are the synthetic and the creative imagination. I like to think that synthetic imagination is that which you are putting into practice. Maybe it's school, maybe it's education, and maybe it's the repetitive actions. The creative imagination is more or less like where you are improvising based on what you have been practicing, based on what you have been studying. And it migrates well over into the next chapter in organized planning, where we see Napoleon Hill say, you know, we see people who have accumulated great fortunes, but we often recognize only their triumphs, overlooking the temporary defeats which they had to surmount before arriving. We never see what people go through to get to their success. Social media, the news, the magazines that we read, they always talk about people's success, but they never talk about their journey. And then also he follows this up with, when defeat comes to an individual, accept it as a signal that your plans are not sound. Rebuild those plans and set sail once more towards your coveted goal. If you give up before your goal has been reached, you are a quitter. And of course, a quitter never wins, and a winner never quits. So just a couple of great chapters. Galen, thank you so much for having me this morning. So excited about what we have in front of us. And right back to you, Galen.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much. And a little bit about me. My name is Galen Bingham. I am the leadership strategist, 30-year veteran of corporate America, a leadership and personal excellence coach, speaker, and author. I believe that everyone is designed to be the greatest in the world at something, and therefore my passion is to help people find their thing so that they can celebrate being the greatest in the world. And I am just the principles of this book come through loud and clear in almost every conversation I have, whether it's in front of an audience or whether it's one-on-one with an executive coach. This chapter in particular, on page 107, Hill talks about that your achievement can be no greater than your plans are sound. He goes on to say that no one is whipped until that person quits in his or her mind. And that reminds me of something that I first saw from Bruce Lee, who was also a student of Napoleon Hill's work. He famously said that defeat is a state of mind. No one is ever defeated until defeat has been accepted as a reality. So just a lot of great principles coming out of this book in general, but this chapter in particular. And so I'm just really, really excited about being able to discuss this with some amazing co-hosts and our speaker, our guest, Mr. Sir Charles. So I'd like to take a commercial at this point, but when we return, you will hear from the one and only Sir Charles Carey. If you've got to get something to drink, do it quick, because this next segment is going to be pure power. So let's go to commercial break, and when we come back, we will hear from our guest.
You are listening.
Number one is desire. Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because that positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people, imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number 7 is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill says that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step 8 is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Goals, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from goal. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. And if you don't have a copy of this book, you absolutely need to do yourself a favor and get it for your library and get it for your own learning and edification. I am really, really excited for this segment of the show. Wayne Dyer meets Les Brown would be the best description for what you're about to get in today's guest. Sir Charles Carey is a peak performance strategist who shows organizations and individuals how to design a life of certainty out of a life of uncertainty. He uses a customized talk call Radiate the Brain and Change the Game to empower others to be their best. For the past 17 years, Sir Charles has not only transformed his own life in some health challenges that he's had, but he has also helped to transform the lives of organizations and individuals. Charles has faced environmental and life-threatening challenges and has proven that in spite of all, he can be a successful champion. He is an Amazon best-selling author with vast experience in training and facilitating. He's appeared on ION TV, CBS, NBC, ABC, the list goes on. And he's also been on the keynote reality TV show. He is known to professionals at all levels and all channels and all industries. I've personally known Sir Charles for close to 10 years. Be prepared to be blown away as he discusses organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action, the 6 steps to gaining riches. Sir Charles, welcome to the show, and tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how I have come to become a fan of yours. Just share a little bit about yourself and a little bit how you become a fan of Think and Grow Rich.
Wow, I'm listening to you, Galen. First of all, thank you for such a wonderful, edified introduction. But I'm listening to you, and I'm like, wow, is that really me? Have I done all those things? But I am on it. And first and foremost, I would like to also say thank you for the International Mastermind Association for having me on today. Peter and Pajin, Ursula, Betty, who I have not met, definitely Miss Ann McNeil, and if it had not been for Napoleon Hill, right? So I'm grateful to be here. I don't look at anything or take anything for granted. To me, every opportunity is a honor. So a little bit about me. I mean, I think you've shared for the most part, what I've done, but I'm just a regular guy that really had a lot of questions. And this is one of the biggest things to me, Galen. I've always sought clarity in my life. I don't care what I was doing, personal, professional, social, or even recreational. I always wanted to understand, what are the rules? Can I? Can I not? Why? What if? So on and so on. And, that's me. I'm an inquisitive person, and I'm a creative person as well. Father, grandfather, I have all these attachments to the being that I am, but I'm just a lover of life and truly a lover of people, man. So I've done quite a bit, but I don't want to run away with the talk, with the conversation. So I'll let you guide me accordingly.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, you and I have known of each other and known each other for about 10 years. I'm really, really excited to have this conversation with you over a book that both of us have mutual admiration for. And before we get into some questions from our co-host, I just want to remind the audience that we do want this to be a conversation. So if you're sitting back listening, definitely enjoy, but start thinking of some questions that you might want to ask. The dial-in number is 661-554-9219. And you hit number one on your phone, and you can be plugged in with Sir Charles. So so let's just jump in. One of the things that I know that you talk about a lot in some of your corporate talks and some of your individual coaching is the use of imagination and mindset and that kind of thing. So how do you use imagination when you're overwhelmed? And then specifically, how do you leverage organized planning to help you get through those periods where you might otherwise feel overwhelmed?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because imagination, I felt like imagination was my favorite chapter, and I think it still is, but there are so many others that are so closely tied to this book that really hit me, not just in my spirit, but deep in my soul, if you will. You know, for me, I'm a creative being, so imagination is kind of an outlet for me. It could be a workplace. It could be so many things for me. And when I'm overwhelmed, a lot of times I just simply sit still. Now, that may seem odd for maybe someone else that's not creative or doesn't consider themselves creative, but to me, sitting still is so revitalizing, and it allows fresh ideas, fresh perspective to literally enter. And when I say sit still, just let me make this clear. I'm not talking about being on social media, not being on your phone, not even listening to the news or watching Netflix. I'm talking about literally still. Now, I can tell you this because I am a creative being. I can be still even in the midst of white noise or other noise, meaning that when it's important enough for me, I go in. And if I go in, I can zone out, quiet out, mute out all other distractions. Now, in today's society, it takes a lot to do that because there's noise coming at us from every direction and every different type of noise. But the long and short of it is quiet. It's still, you know, it's tranquility. Those key words are things that, to me, are huge because too much noise when you're overwhelmed, too much distraction can really create a meltdown. I mean, I don't care how strong you are, how smart you are, how well, you know, built or thought of you are, too much of anything can be no good, obviously, but really, the answer in a nutshell, tranquility, being still. Now, as it relates to organized planning, it feeds the organized planning because when you are still, you have a clear or a clean slate. So it allows you the opportunity to put things in order. And even if you have to shift the order, you don't have extra noise or stuff going on, whereas you can't methodically or sensibly see how you need to rearrange or restructure a plan, an idea, a talk, a conversation, or whatever it is, you know, a trip, if you will.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Boy, I tell you, I mean, you're hitting with all fire, man, right out of the gate. And Ursula is kind of teetering back in her chair, so I better let her get in with a question before she explodes. So, Ursula, what's on your mind?
How can you tell that I'm about to explode? Well, seriously, there is on the surface, Sir Charles, by the way, hello. Last time
yes,
I think I saw you was in
you
D.C. or Philadelphia or someplace like that. But
right.
On the surface, it appears that you have answered my question, but I'm going to ask it in slightly a different way.
Okay.
What happens when imagination goes wild? I mean, like off the chain, and structure becomes restricted. The extremes of both of those.
I think that sort of reverts back to the first question in a sense because that goes back to the overwhelm. What is overwhelm? What is it like when you're mad? You're thinking of all these things. And for me, I'll be honest with you, I'm like to say, a bat out of hell sometimes when it comes to imagination because I can create ideas and things and talks and titles and all this stuff even when it's not for me. I'll do it for other people. I'm like, hey, you ever tried this? And I'll give it to them, and I'll even tell them the steps. So imagine in the course of the day, let's say if you're a speaker, for example, which I am, but let's say if someone's a speaker and they come up to you after your keynote and say, hey, well, you know, I'm trying to do this. And someone says, I'm trying to do that. So here you are maybe not necessarily pulling them in for your coaching program yet, but you're giving them general ideas. Why don't you try this, right? So all of a sudden you have all these things coming at you, not to mention your own stuff. Well, for me, this is why I need a mastermind, honestly. And why I say that because I will be held accountable. I'll be held accountable to what I'm supposed to do. So when I do that talk, keynote, whatever it may be, and I have people coming at me from different angles, what's going to happen is I'm going to need to be able to be quiet, internally quiet, so that I can give those people what they need, but so that I can also keep myself on track. And I think that, you know, the imagination can be a blessing and a curse. Blessing for obvious reasons, you come up with things that maybe others can come up, or you come up with things that can help you down the line, you can monetize them. But the curse is the fact that, like you're asking the question, you get all these things in your head, and how do you really, how do you handle it? How do you, you know, be one with yourself, one with your authentic, genuine self? And I think the answer still comes back to, you know, being quiet, because you can take your own self off track because you're so creative. And I've done that. I've had so many ideas. I thought, well, I want to do this and I want to do that. And sometimes I've done those things, but they haven't produced results, not monetary results as I thought they would. So I had to start taking things off my plate. And I think there's a thing called discernment. When you can discern, hopefully you have enough understanding of self, understanding of who you may call God, to know that, wait a minute, I'm doing way too much. I'm trying to put too much stuff out there. I'm trying to spread myself too thin. I think it's quite clear, if you have discernment, then you will know when it's time to dial it down. And if you can't dial it down and you find yourself in this ongoing tailspin of, you know, just all this stuff going on, that's when you may, my friend, may need a coach or a mastermind.
Thank you. And what a great statement for what we're doing right now. Perfect point. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, fantastic. Hey, Pagin and I were talking right actually before this episode about how this really connects to the conversation that she led last week. And this is the longest I've ever known Pagin to be quiet. So I'm gonna let her out of the gates. Pagin, share a little bit about what we were talking about. And if you've got any questions for Sir Charles.
I have to tell you, I'm, thank goodness for mute buttons, because I want to jump in. Fabulous information. Thank you so much, everybody. You know, one of the things, I love what you said about discernment and being able to really discern and know when you have to, when this is kind of a reception that you're receiving for your highest good or not. But you have to be tapped in, right? You have to tap in, and you have to be tuned in, and you have to be turned on to hear it. I wanted to ask you is, when is the best time to tap into the imagination? What is your process to be quiet and tap into your imagination?
This is the most or the best thing about being the most intelligent species. You know, we're all different. There are different mechanics and nuances that make us how we are, temperaments and characteristics. And for everyone, it may simply be different. It doesn't matter if we're in the same industry. Like, most people on this call are business owners. Some of us are coaches. Some of us are speakers. Some of us are coaches and speakers. Point is, just because we all wear a similar hat or wear hats doesn't mean we're going to wear our hats the same way. So to me, the best time, it depends on the individual. What makes you how you are? Okay, so is there a lull? Is it the fact that there's nothing really going on in your life or in your business? That may be a good clue to try to tap into your imagination, even if it's prompted by something or someone else. Now, if you're a person like myself, that you're always creative and you're all over the place at times, well, maybe you really need to know that, you know what, let me keep a digital recorder or a notebook specifically for my ideas so that they can jot down or record those ideas and come back to them later. I personally think writing would be better because you can see it on a recording. It's great to have a recorded log, but you'll be forced to have to listen to maybe a lot of information, depending on how often you record, to get to the thing that, that the universe says, this is the thing for now. So if you write down And you can use Evernote, you can use Penzu, you can use a pen and paper, you can use a special book near your nightstand, whatever it may be. If you write your ideas, your creative ideas, that may be the thing that you can look at and say, no, not that. No, I don't need to do a book. You know what? Maybe I need to do a seminar, a teleseminar, whatever it may be. So write down things and look at them. And allow, I'm going back to discernment a little bit. Allow the spirit of discernment to talk to you, talk to your imagination, and let you know what you need to connect with at that specific time. And don't look at it two and three times. Usually, keyword, usually, hashtag usually, your first train of thought is the one you should go with.
Do you use visualization to help you in your imagination? So do you spend time like in a quiet place and create a place where you can see yourself doing what you're see you, yourself doing what it is that you know you're destined to do, and then ask for guidance for the imagination? Do you spend quiet time like that?
I'm going to work backwards. I think asking for guidance, even for the most creative person, is a smart thing. You just have to know who you're asking for the guidance from. Me personally, I have asked for guidance, and I lean a lot to colleagues that I know that are going or trying to go where I'm going, colleagues that have invested in themselves at the same proportion, if not more, than I have. And the visualization I use or look into is the simple fact that if you're aware, and I'm going back to discernment again, if you're conscious, if you discern every single day of your life, especially, of course, if you have vision, you can see with your eyes, every single day of your life is an opportunity to learn and grow. So how does this fit into the question? Because every time you walk out your front door, you're on your way to wherever you're going, your job or your next gig, the store, it's an opportunity to learn. You see things. Just pay attention to the universe. The universe is always speaking to us from my perspective. It's always teaching a lesson. It's always sharing something. It could be a sign on the side of a bus. It could be a little kid saying something to someone down the street. It could be someone's radio that you happen to hear in the far distance. So it could be visual. It could be auditory. It could be kinesthetic. Every opportunity is an opportunity for you to creatively grow or tap into that je ne sais quoi, if you will, for what you should do, could be doing, or need to expand upon.
That's writing notes, and that's great. I love how you say to be aware and conscious and discern. I think those are,
you know why? Because
words.
I think sometimes, and of course, I know I've done it. We all take everything for granted. It's like, okay, you see a little kid running across the street. Okay, well, it doesn't mean anything. Well, maybe depending on what's going on in your life, it's time for you to pick up the pace. Who knows? It could be an indication. It could be a clear marker. You may hear someone saying something like, man, you must be out of your head. Who knows? That could be the title for your next book. You know, but you have to know where you are, where you want to go, what you're doing, what you're not doing, and fill the void with the right stimuli. We all walk around and live this life, and sometimes we're not taking advantage of what God is giving us. And it's not going to always be a clear indication that, hey, Charles, this is for you. No, but just allow yourself to borrow from the universe at will.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Great question.
Man, hey, when you and I talked earlier this week, Sir Charles, I told you not to take any shortcuts and hit him with the fire, man. I didn't mean to hit him this hard, man. You're just blasted, man. You're blasted.
I'll be honest with you, do. Sometimes, now, you know, a person sometimes knows a question that's going to be asked, and sometimes you don't know. But you may not authentically know your complete response. And I'm not trying to get preachy or churchy with people because I don't know what anyone's belief system is, and I'm not trying to turn anyone off. But I truly believe that God brings the answers and the words to us and through us at the time they need to be used. So I can't completely take credit for it, but I know that I believe it, I live by it, and I'm just honored if someone can get something from it.
Yeah, well, hey, earlier in this conversation, you talked about how, you know, being a creative type, and I fancy myself to be creative as well, so I can relate, that sometimes, you know, your imagination kind of gets ahead of you or can get ahead of you, and so you have to really use organized planning to really kind of stay focused on what you're trying to do and how you can have the greatest impact. What would you say would be the limitations, or do you believe that there are limitations to imagination? And then how have you used organized planning in that regard?
You know, to be honest with you, I do not think that there is a limitation. I think that from time to time, we should limit how deep we allow ourselves to go, or you know, how open we allow ourselves to say, because imagination is, you know, every aspect of Think and Grow Rich, it's a portion of the process. We probably will excel in one portion more than others. However, we have to monitor ourselves to not just stay in one section of life, one section of a book. If you want to read the whole book, you can't just read the same chapter over and over. And it's the same thing with how you live. You know, you can't just say, oh, I want to apply that. That's going to make me successful. No, it may, but what will happen, in my opinion, there will come a time where you will feel a void, and that's because you haven't read the rest of the book. So I don't think that there is a limitation on imagination. We just have to learn how to use our imagination, again, according to the person that we are, according to what we're trying to create or do, and definitely according to where we're trying to go.
Fantastic. All right, well, hey, Peter James and I were trading some notes, and he texted me this question wanting me to ask. And I said, dude, that's way too loaded. You got to ask that question. So, Peter, I'm going to put you on blast, man. What was the question that you asked me to ask?
And I'm happy. I feel good about myself this morning, man. I have to withdraw after that there, Galen. But, Sir Charles, thank you so much for being with us. You are an inspiration to me already. Early this Saturday morning, I am ready to get the weekend pumped. And our paths have crossed. Our paths have crossed quite a few times. We haven't had pleasure of having a conversation by any means. But I just want to thank you again for your inspiration and what your journey has meant to the audience. What your journey has meant to me, man. So thank you so much for that.
I'm grateful. Thank you so much, Peter.
Yeah, man. So here's my question that Galen was alluding to. You know, as men, you know, a lot of times we think we dictate everything that goes on in society. The male as it relates to business, we think we run it. You know, we're still the majority of CEOs. I don't understand why that is still the case. But just in general, we take a lot of things for granted. To take words from what you just said there as well. But my question to you is this, from your perspective, from what you think, are we better at imagining or even organizing our careers, our business, our ideas, just in general, from your perspective?
No, when you say better, you mean like better than women or just, I mean, I'd imagine that's the comparison. Is that right?
You would imagine that for sure, but sure, absolutely. There's two, absolutely. From your perspective, just better. just better? What are your thoughts around whether it's a gender conversation or just generalizing things overall?
Of course. Next question.
Right, I know that.
No,
right.
I'm only kidding. I think that it goes back to like temperament, character, and desire, mm-hmm. and you know all those things. Everyone is different, and for those that are or have been creative artists, those that are builders, I think that those people, male or female, have the ability to be better at imagining things simply because it's already built in them to be creative, to draw, to, you know, take a blank wall or a slate or a canvas and make something, you know, have an idea. So I don't think that men are necessarily better at imagining, not at all, honestly. I think it's the person, the individual. And, it's funny, they say that you don't want to back a cat into a corner because it'll lash out or it'll strike you or it becomes vicious or whatever. I think any person, male or female, that has a deep desire or is not satisfied, they have a great ability to exercise their imagination in a stupendous way. And simply because, you know what they say, when you're down, you can't go any lower. There's only one way to go, and that's up. So that person will probably propel themselves in a manner that they didn't even realize that they could do simply because they, you know, their back was against the wall.
Interesting. So, yeah, I do tend to agree with you on that one. It's just an interesting concept. From my perspective, I see more and more women entering the business and the corporate space. I'm excited about that, especially being living in a house with all women. And I just wanted to get your perspective and your take on it, especially in regards to your own journey. So, yeah, thank you so much for clarifying that as well.
You know, in some ways, I could tell you this, Peter. I know we're kind of going to the next phase, but in so many ways, it's good that women are starting to move to the forefront in corporate, private, and all facets, because I can understand the uneasiness with some men, especially traditional thinking men, as they would say, the old money. I get that. But if it's really about growing and sharing and giving and, you know, really being about the purpose and not the person, it opens up an opportunity to really see things on a level playing field, to grow on a level playing field, to learn from new perspectives. And, again, I know when you're in control, who wants to relinquish control? But you know, you never know about something until you give it an opportunity or till it has an opportunity to show itself, see what it's worth.
Absolutely, yeah. That's good analysis right there for sure. I'm excited about what you have shared with us, excited about your journey, man, and just thank you again for being on this call with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, fantastic, man. I'm getting notes from all over the place. A good friend of mine, Gerald DeBose, just texted me. He's listening. He said that very same thing. He said that CEOs have been given opportunities that previously had not been afforded to in previous times. So you're really connecting. So, hey, look, we're getting some more questions coming in. We're going to come back and take some of those questions. First, we're going to take a commercial break. But then when we come back, more questions from the audience, more questions from our co-hosts. And if you've got a question, definitely dial in 661-554-9219 and then hit number 1 on your phone, and you will be plugged in to Sir Charles Carey, who has already hit you guys with all kinds of wisdom and insight. But right now, let's go to a commercial break.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1 593-30-2002.
All right, so we're back. Did we get a call-in? Is there a call-in question? I think it was Anne. Were you saying there was a call-in question?
This is Ursula. We don't have a call-in question. Yeah, we don't have a call-in question right now, but I had a question based on a combination of things that was said so far when you were talking about imagination being out there, and when the question about the men versus women, that almost derailed me. I was like, wait a minute, that short answer, come on, come back. Because I happen to be I happen to be someone that was a manager when there were only two black female managers in this particular arena, managing 150 people way back then. And when you talk about imagination, what I was going to say, it happens to be male-based. I was going out to see a legacy wall that I had installed that's three times my size. I mean, it was how I even allowed myself to create something that I couldn't see it until it was actually on the wall and it's bigger than life had to be, I don't know what. I don't know what gave me that. It was imagination plus a little bit of nuts. But I was thinking of when I was going out to that, I walked out my door, and across the canal, there was a rooster. And this is where the male part comes in. A rooster started crowing. And I needed some inspiration at the moment. And I tell you, because the rooster cadence was dun, 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 what I heard was Ursula.
Okay.
And it made me laugh. I said, okay, if this is the way the universe wants to give me encouragement by making me laugh, I'll accept that. But now once you get something in your head, it depends on if you decide if it's positive or not. Now every time I hear that rooster, it's like, okay, it's pushing me to go do something positive.
That's right.
So that's a little bit off the chain, but nevertheless, a little fun.
And you never know, two people may be inspired differently by one interaction.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, that's strong. Just that last comment is really strong, man. I have gotten a lot from this conversation. I hope that everyone listening has as well. I'm going to ask all of my co-hosts, all of my partners in crime here, to share any ahas or key takeaways that you've gotten from this conversation. But for me, I'll kick us off. But for me, I heard a lot of talk about imagination, even as it pertains to organized planning, the importance of imagination, the importance of discernment, asking for guidance, but asking for guidance strategically, make sure that the people that you're asking, there's credibility with you, with what you're going to be getting from them, just making sure that you are leveraging organized planning to make your dreams a reality. So those are some of the things that I got from this conversation with you, Sir Charles. Let's go around. Any other co-hosts?
Yes, Anne, I can go ahead and go next. Galen, I was so preoccupied with taking notes inside the Blog Talk show. I started writing down some of the tweetable moments and some of the things that were being said, and I want to say to Sir Charles that when I listened to how you intertwined your imagination as a setup, I won't go to that setup for a comeback, right? As a setup, Willie Dolly, as a setup to really begin to organize the plans of the imagination. And I really appreciated you giving us the tips, if you will, tips to journal and all of the different things about being quiet and all of those actionable activities that a person could take, because it led me to remember, if you will, to promote our annual Think and Grow Rich accountability meeting for your life, which this year is going to be held on January the 4th, 2020. And I say that because when do we get off the treadmill of life to actually, like you said, when we jot down our imagination, whether it's in a journal or we record it, and then we begin to organize those plans toward our desires. I want to ask every single person who's ever listening to this recording, where do you go to be held accountable? Where and when?
Yeah.
Because the accountability piece is the action that gives feedback, as they say, you know, is the food of champions. But the feedback year after year after year, and depending upon how old we are, your accountability is going to measure the level of your success and personal and professional growth. So I'm really excited about what you shared, and I did make sure that I made the note in the blog talk. So that's it for me, Galen. I'm very excited. I want to thank everybody for another awesome show. So we'll go on to the next host. Thanks.
All right. Perfect. So, Ms. Ursula, any parting thoughts from you? I know you were really, really engaged in this conversation. What were some of your key takeaways?
Well, my takeaway is that imagination is inspired by so many different things, and I love Sir Charles's last comment about one person or two people can see the same thing in different ways. But I think that's the beauty of life, is that if something someone else says sparks a thought, that thought could go in a totally different direction, but it may be totally positive that inspires someone else to do something. So if you have two people going in two different directions from the same idea and they're both positive, we have twice the value. So I appreciated that comment.
Okay, great, fantastic.
And then the speaker with only one name, Ms. Begin, what did you take from this conversation? You were very, very energized here.
I love being aware and conscious and discerning. So to allow yourself to be free and to imagine and to create, but to be aware and conscious and discerning, so have your imagination, have all those ideas. Love what you said about, you know, writing it down on all the different ways that you can, hand or Evernote, but bring it in to such a organized planning so that your ideas. Hey, you know, what I really got from this was the recognition of, I'm so glad that I've come to an age of being wise, because I appreciate more the aware and the consciousness and the discernment, because our minds can go everywhere which way, and if we miss the big opportunities, we miss the thing that was made for us, if we don't discern and don't have a path and see how our lighted path goes. So thank you so much, because we get off that road every once in a while to take the journey, but we have to get back on the road to keep on going.
That's right. Thank you.
So thank you so much.
Thank you. Knowledge can be purchased, but wisdom has to be earned. So, again, you are dead on. You are dead on. All right, so professor, speaker, entrepreneur, Mr. Everything, Peter James, what were some of your takeaways?
Mr. Everything. Maybe today I'm just one thing. How's that? Sir Charles, thank you so much. You, as I mentioned earlier while I was talking, you are an inspiration to me. You know, in the imagination chapter of this text, Napoleon Hill says, the only limitation is that which one sets up in one's own mind. And Sir Charles, you didn't go a lot into your journey, but I have to tell you that I encourage everyone to jump onto your social media, whether it's your Twitter, your Facebook, your LinkedIn, or even your any of your books that you have there, your journey to where you've gotten to now is so, so inspiring and does not I think your success has not does not definitely show the your journey. So everyone's got a journey. Everyone's got roads and things that they overcome. You are no different. You are actually an inspiration to me and everyone who looks you up on all the social media platforms or your books. So thank you for that. And thank you, again, for being here this morning and sharing your life with us as well.
Thanks a lot, Peter. You know, if I could share something really quick, I'd like to say that, you know, as a young boy, they used to teach us in school how to write tall tales, and I would write tall tales, and I got excited about it, and I loved reading because, again, I was fueling and feeding my imagination. And then at a certain point, I didn't like reading anymore because, in my mind, this is a waste of time. I don't have those things. Those are just thoughts. And for a long time, I shut down the interest of reading and the adventure that my mind would go to in reading different books and creating different tall tale stories. And it, as you fast forward later in life, you realize, wow, what damage I was causing myself without even knowing, because I was initially being exposed to my greatness. So I'm so passionate, so excited about what I do now as a presenter and as a trainer and coach, that it probably shows up when I present and speak. But, you know, I had a thought, because in the book on page 98, it said, what I would do if I had $1 million. And it took me back to those tall tales that we were supposed to write in school, and the fact that after a while I got tired of doing it because they were just words, they were just thoughts, not realizing that I had robbed myself for decades of possibility and potential. So all of my books now that I write, I've got actually my book, Radiate the Brain and Change the Game, is being turned into a series of that book, as well as Radiate the Brain and Change the Game, Aligned by Design, and Radiate the Brain and Change the Game, What's So Hard About Being You. The entire four books is a series being repackaged and rebranded, and I look forward to sharing it with everyone in the future as it is ready for debut.
Awesome stuff, man.
I tell you, this conversation reminds me of something my grandmother used to tell me. You were cooking with grease this morning, man. You were cooking with grease. So thank you for that. And how could, if by chance there is someone listening and they did not get enough of Sir Charles this morning and they are just glutton for more, how can they get a hold of you, either to speak to their organization or to speak to them individually? How can they get a hold of you?
Okay, if you got a pen and paper, I would suggest you write this down, because I'm going to give you a few different things, and I don't know what resonates with who. For general contact, everything is / Sir Charles Carey. I'm talking about LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Everything is / Sir Charles Carey. And for you old schoolers, you know how to spell Carey, so it's C-A-R-Y. The young folks may not know how to spell Carey, Sir Charles C-A-R-Y. The website itself, if you're interested in getting any of the books or the audio programs or the DVD programs, that's SirCharlesCareyInc.com. And just in case you didn't get that, there's another site. I have an alternate site as well, which is charlescarey.net. You can get any of the books that are available there. I think all of them have been knocked down, especially for this broadcast, so you can take advantage of the discount that's available to you with the books, the audios, or the DVD program. And not to take away from the mastermind, but I was told once before by a couple of my coaches, find someone with a voice that resonates with your own. So in other words, when you get a coach, you want a coach that there's something about them you like. Their stage antics, their cadence, their whatever it is, their tenacity, you know, their style. You know, because every presenter, speaker, trainer has a different style. just like managers. Some are over the top with excitement. Some are very humorous. Some are really even keel and low tempered, low mannered. They have an right. Everyone has a different thing. And if something I said to you makes you want to work with me, go to my coaching site, changethebrain.net, and we'll connect there where I can take you from soup to nuts to help you get your own identity and help you move forward in that process as well. So I threw out a lot for you. I hope you got it. Coaching is changethebrain.net. Books and products, SirCharlesCarryInc.com or CharlesCarry.net. And everything else on social media is /SirCharlesCarry. And today, if you're in the Virginia area, I'll be at the Barnes & Noble around 11 o'clock in Arlington, Virginia, because I'm kicking off the Cure Tour. So come on out. I'll autograph your book and introduce you to a couple of my colleagues that I've coached that now have their own books and products.
Well, there you have it, man. There you have it, guys. This is the end of another amazing episode, and I can't think of a better person to talk with than Sir Charles Carey. If you want even just a little bit more of what you heard on this call, you got several ways to get a hold of him. There really is no excuse. I want to thank all of my co-hosts, Ursula, Fagin, Mr. Peter James, and then Ann McNeil. We call her Miss Ann. Fantastic show. This has been Galen Bingham, the Leadership Strategist, and I believe that every success and every failure begins and ends with leadership. Now it's up to you to go be amazing. Please tune in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. to another amazing show as we dig deeper and deeper into the landmark work of Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. Thank you, and until next time.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.